You're listening to the Bloomberg Business Week podcast. Catch us live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 Eastern. Listen on Bloomberg.com, the iHeartRadio app, and the Bloomberg Business app. Or watch us live on YouTube.
Well, as pandemic worries have faded, the travel business has definitely come soaring back, with airline traffic more than doubling since its COVID era trough, and waiting times for deliveries of new commercial airplanes mostly stretching through the end of this decade because of robust demand. But there is one travel segment that seems a little bit stuck in a holding pattern, and that is corporate-owned jets.
So wrote Bloomberg's Thomas Black earlier this month. He reports on the aviation space and noted that even though the number of flights operated by the broader private aviation industry, so that includes charter, fractional, individually owned aircraft managed by third-party service companies, pretty much all the ways that you fly around, Carol.
Totally.
Yeah.
Not.
It's almost 19% higher than it was back in 2019. That was the last full year, pre-pandemic year. Companies' in-house flight departments are flying about the same as they did, Carol, 4 years ago.
It's interesting. That's according to data from WingX. It's a Hamburg-based provider of market data and analysis on the private aviation industry. We've got a great voice on this. Back with us is Janine Iannarelli. She is founder and president of the private aircraft broker Par Avion, and she really sees daily what is going on minute by minute in the private aviation world. She's here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker studio. Welcome back. How are you?
Oh, delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
It's great to have you here. Tell me what you said, though, when you walked into the studio and you were listening to our segment on the IPO market, which seems like it's having a tough time getting going, and how that kind of related to your industry.
Yeah, just take your last guest story and slash IPO and insert the word jet.
What's going on?
That's a good question. What we have observed throughout the course of 2023, the buyers are sitting on their hands, and they've created excuses, and I would say the trade has as well for them, quarter over quarter. So here we are. We're at the end of the year. This should be the busiest time of the year in the aircraft trading marketplace. And it's relatively quiet.
Wait, I thought that we saw huge, huge announcements from companies like NetJets buying many, many Cessna Citations, for example, earlier this year. That doesn't count?
In a way, no, because that's the fractional share and they need to meet demand. Actually, fractional flying is up year over year. I want to say the number is somewhere like 7.9%, whereas private flying is down 8.3%. Year over year.
How can those things be true?
And Thomas Black in his story said flights from fractional operators, so we're talking about NetJets, Flexjet, have increased 41% from 2019 but levels.
That's you're still flying private with. When you use one of those operators. So make the distinction for our audience.
So the private sector and the corporate sector is whole ownership. These are individuals and corporations that go out and acquire the asset and the management, the crewing.
It's the company jet.
It's the company jet. Whereas with the fractional
flies all the time.
Yes, exactly.
No, go ahead. You're buying a piece of an airplane, and so you have access to uplift pretty much on demand, but you don't own the whole aircraft and you don't control the operation of it.
This is exactly what our own Thomas Black wrote about earlier this month. And the question is that I have for you is that era kind of over when it comes to private ownership? We've seen pushback from shareholders about flying private, so now we're about actually these companies owning corporate jets because of the carbon footprint. So companies are now, you know, not actually owning their jets outright and instead using those fractional services, which do offer the on-demand private flying. So the benefits of flying private without actually owning that asset.
So it's a conundrum. I don't think demand has diminished. It's just action has diminished. We really don't see people pushing away from private jets and looking for other means of transportation. It still is the most efficient form of moving goods and services, goods and people around the country, around the world.
But they don't want to own it.
Not necessarily so. I mean, I personally have not experienced people say, sell the jet because of all the issues that you just cited. There are ways to reduce their carbon footprint, you know, smart flying, direct flying in the United States is going to lead the way. Operators within the United States are going to lead the way to that goal of 2050.
But Janine, you broker deals, right?
Correct.
So how much is your deal flow down this year from, I don't know, what's is it the peak post-pandemic that you measure against? I'd be curious about that. And also where it was maybe 2019.
So good questions. My business is off significantly, but I attribute it to the aircraft that I'm actually offering. I mean, the market's sort of...
You don't like your inventory?
I love my inventory.
But it's not what people want?
It's not in favor with the market today. The most active segment of the business aircraft marketplace, I would have to say, is the small jet. That is the aircraft that initially led the decline and then started the rise back out of the global pandemic.
So what is this, like a six-person?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I put it more in a dollar perspective, but 6 to 8 passengers, somewhere $2 to $7 million, and the aircraft range is going to be anywhere from about 1,000 nautical miles to 1,500.
So what don't people want then?
Is it now?
Yeah. What is it that they don't want?
It seems to be the category that I would call the super midsize and the ultra-long-range aircraft.
Why don't they want those?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. So first of all, if we talk about the ultra long range, that's the pinnacle of the marketplace. And the price point for those airplanes is anywhere from $50 million on.
This
and
would
on
be
up.
Like a Gulfstream G650 type
Correct.
Thing?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Tim's a little bit into planes.
Ah, I can tell. So that seems to have fallen out of favor. I mean, there are buyers out there, and there are plenty of inquiries. I mean, if I just look at the number of inquiries I've received year to date on every single aircraft I offer for sale, it just boggles my mind that not one person has stepped up to make an offer. Maybe more interesting is, let's say I get 200 inquiries over the course of 3 months on an aircraft. My guess is 10% are really going to buy an aircraft, but less than 10% of that 10%. Have actually done anything.
Forgive me, but do interest rates matter? I mean, when we're talking at this type of money, they don't matter for real estate, but they matter for, at least that's what real estate, high-end real estate brokers
I mean, do they finance us. These deals? Like, yeah, that's a good question.
So another good question. My personal history is that I can count maybe on two hands how many people actually needed financing throughout my entire career.
It's a cash
career.
Deal. But is it typically a cash
needed,
deal? Typically.
Needed versus using. Financing are two different things. There are plenty
exactly.
of people who could pay, you know, outright for a $40,000 or $60,000 vehicle, but if they get 0% financing, then they're going to take the financing.
Exactly that. Now, I have a number of prospective buyers that they may pay cash outright and then refinance later on. Most of them do that with a financial institution that they already have a business relationship with. The odd inquiry that I may receive for aircraft financing, frankly, is a little bit of a red flag for me because they shouldn't be asking me. They already should have that in place.
Right. Right. They've got their bankers. They've got the bank that they've been working with for years on everything
They're
else.
They're qualified. The
KYC. Come in.
Everything.
It's interesting. I'm thinking about our audience. So how do you then use what you are seeing to maybe tell you what's going on in the global economy? Is it an indicator for you, or is it just maybe your business, your industry is going through some changes?
I would say flip that and say business jets are the indicator, and they always have been. Now, I think we're writing new history and have been since 2019, because you could take the playbook and throw it out the window. Looking back over 23, I was musing over the fact that we're going to chalk this year up to a year of rebalancing. And I'm wondering if this was not the downturn that always follows a great upswing. And 24, because I'm going to use it to project a little bit, is going to be relatively quiet. But the driver for that is mostly the presidential election and the uncertainty that comes along with who will be our new administration and what policies will go into effect.
Well, President Trump was pretty friendly to private jets.
To a certain degree. I mean, some of those...
There were tax breaks that were given to people who used private jets during the coronavirus pandemic, for example.
Well, that's true. The bonus depreciation was a huge driver to motivate people to buy aircraft.
What are you... 20 seconds. What are you worried about in terms of the presidential outcome and in terms of regulatory or oversight? And I've got to ask you to be very quickly.
I'm mostly concerned about tax implications. There's a lot of those expiring in 25. That's really the bigger concern.
really fascinating, right?
I could talk about this all day.
I know. It's a world we love talking about. We didn't even get into eVTOLs, which I know is a big
next
thing.
Next time.
Come back soon. Love to continue the conversation. Janine Iannarelli, founder and president of ParAvion, a private aircraft broker. You can check out some of the stuff that she is involved in on her website here in studio. Have a good holiday.